You're in the zone, coming to you live from the Fury Electric Studio with Justin Akre on the Buzz Radio Network. It's like this, yo. This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentration. It's time to talk hog football with the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report. Jim's Razorback Pizza with three locations throughout Central Arkansas. Highway 10 just past Taylor Loop and Little Rock, just off the Morgan Maumelle exit, and in Hot Springs off Central Avenue at the Temperance Hill Square.
You know, there's a big emphasis on offense, defense, and special teams, just doing the core fundamentals, you know, defensively in particular, making sure that we tackle, read our keys and react the way we're supposed to offensively. Simple things, catching the football, ball security, working on the timing of routes, and then special teams, a big emphasis on just, it's midway point in the season. Obviously, through the SEC conference, everybody's got films. We want to make sure you break any tendencies or anything that shows up.
Or don't show up. Welcome back in the zone, live from Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Benton. It is the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report, sponsored by our friends at Jim's Razorback Pizza. Speaking of Jim's, it's Jim's Gone Wild. There's Jim Harris.
Going on.
Jim.
That's a voice of a wild man.
Oh, buddy.
He's great. A wild man off after two defeats in the World Series.
Oof.
I'm feeling the daggers. Yeah. What was that? What was he saying anyway?
Sorry.
You know, Cardinals are losing, the Hogs are losing. I just.
At least the Cardinals made it, though. Hey.
Jim, have you lost your will to live? I mean, are you all right?
Yeah.
Jim, they're still in it.
It's over. You know, yeah.
They're still in it, Jim. They're still in it. The Hogs are basically almost out of it. So at least your Cardinals are still in it.
Okay, Jim.
Still two games with the green monster staring them in the face.
Let me connect your two loves here then.
Okay.
Who will win more games the rest of the season? The Cardinals or the Razorbacks?
I think the Cardinals have a better shot at it.
That's terrible. Well,
but these are winnable games. I mean,
these aren't
necessarily winnable games, but these are more winnable than for Arkansas than the last four were. And we knew this before the season started. This is how everybody who really paid a lot of attention to it viewed the season, and now we're to this portion of the season. You have two games, and then you have another open date, and then you finish with Mississippi State and LSU. But I don't think that Auburn or Ole Miss are supremely more talented than Arkansas compared with, say, certainly the last three teams they played, and then, you know, Johnny Football being the player he was against Arkansas. So, I mean, I just think that Arkansas is more in the ballpark, but they've got to bring a ball game. They can't just show up and then quit at the first sign of adversity.
I just got done saying that yesterday, that, you know, and Matt Harris gave us a heck of a pep talk yesterday. I mean, I was ready to jump out there and play. And
I'll play for Coach Harris.
I'm telling you, that guy had me all fired up. I mean, he put on a heck of a speech yesterday. But anyway, you know, again, I think, like you said, I mean, you're going to have an opportunity. And I think all the games that are left, and that would include LSU. LSU has some issues where, you know, Alabama doesn't. And certainly you would have expected. Again, the only game that really stood out to us as far as being totally shocking was the South Carolina performance. But all in all, I think Arkansas is going to have a decent look to be competitive in the final four games, and hopefully they will be. Jim, I want to make the argument, and I made this yesterday. It's the first time Arkansas has played five ranked opponents in a row in school history. And they also have the 12th hardest schedule in November of anybody in America. I think they have the third hardest one in the SEC.
Man.
I could make a decent argument that this is the hardest schedule Arkansas has played in school history. So,
I think so.
Yeah.
And
so it's
no doubt about it that a coaching change and a serious drop in talent happened to coincide with the toughest schedule in school history. And I hate to, you know, jump past this season, but. I mean, take a glance at next year. When you basically trade Georgia for Florida, that's a wash, or maybe, you know, harder.
Well, yeah.
And then Georgia is losing Aaron Murray.
But they are, but they still have terrific talent all the way through that, you know, through their lineup.
Sure, Aaron Murray is huge.
He is huge, but there'll be another quarterback over there. Look at the guys who transferred from there, who are starting in the SEC elsewhere. And then you had Northern Illinois, who's having a really good season, and then Texas Tech, who's having a great season with freshman quarterback and a new coach. So let's just face it, it's an onslaught that probably doesn't even end on November.
Now they're going to say, let's face it, Arkansas is probably going to win a national title next year.
It's just going to be tough.
Yeah,
you can understand why a guy like this, Jermaine Elmanuer, or however you want to say his name now.
How'd you say it earlier, Chris?
I think it was Illuminor or something
like
that. Illuminor.
Potato, potato.
He was illuminated to the fact that it may be another, struggle again next season as Arkansas continues to try to rebuild. And I guess he saw it being a little better for his prospects as a junior, number one junior college offensive tackle in the country to take his talents where it's not a rebuilding situation.
Not to South Beach.
Yeah, well, and apparently he got beat up on Twitter about it. I don't know if you saw that or not, Jim, which is sad. And we talked about we've got to self-police pretty well or better maybe as a fan base. And I think probably all of college football needs to do a little better job on this, that if you've got a friend that's just sending hateful, ridiculously terrible tweets to people, you got to go, hey, dumb. Really?
They're trolls.
I mean, come on. Don't be such a loser.
I don't think you can reasonably talk to trolls, though.
Yeah, but I do think the worst part of people...
I have a feeling this would have happened if he was committed to Oklahoma and decommitted to A&M or Arkansas, he would have got the same... treatment. I mean, what does he expect from some of the nameless, faceless, even on Twitter? Because there are a lot of those now as well.
Yeah.
I mean, people aren't behind the names Justin Akery and Jim Harris. They're behind Hog Fan 53 and that kind of thing. I just use that number for Basil, of course. But you see that out there. I mean, you don't see a lot of. I mean, they're not standing behind Chris Kane or Justin Akery or whatever. It's also become the nameless, faceless message board in a way. And people of that ilk like to vent. I'm sure there were a lot of people that wanted to vent and didn't, I would guess.
Yeah. Well, that's what you said.
Just because of this, a commitment, I know he's 20 years old or whatever. And I give him all the credit in the world for doing what he wants to do and what he was promised in the summer and what he saw and what he was sold on. Well, guess what? After this beat down of the past 5-6 weeks and with probably more to come, it didn't look so promising to him. I mean, give him his opportunity to choose elsewhere. He didn't sign with Arkansas and then transfer. He just decided, maybe I, committed too soon. And I agree with you. People should stay off Twitter. At least congratulate the guy or don't say anything. It does hurt that he goes to a rival school. It'd been different maybe if he'd chosen Ohio State, which is supposedly who he had committed. He committed to Arkansas over Ohio State. I mean, did he get bombarded by... Buckeye fans when he did that, saying, "What are you doing? You're going to the SEC. We hate the SEC." I'm sure he probably got a little of that then too.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. And again, it's not just guys who are prospective student athletes. We saw the beating the Missouri kicker took over the weekend after missing
that's
that kick.
Horrible.
So, yeah, it's unfortunate that people feel okay about that. I just don't know how we got to this point as a society where we say the most hateful, terrible things I would never say to my worst enemy. And even if you're not, the thing that gets me is people that have their names connected to it that say it. It's like, hey, dumb, it's going to get back around to you. I mean, do you want people that know you to think you're a terrible person? That's where somebody's got to pull you aside and go, look stupid. Don't do that anymore. That's so idiotic.
Yeah, I guess if you saw the guy sitting at Jim's Razorback Pizza, maybe would you come up to him and go, good grief, man, you're the worst safety we've ever had. Or, I mean, geez, how do you get caught stealing, you know, for the last out? I mean, would you say that to the guy's face?
Or hope you tear your ACL.
Geez, yeah, or geez, man, you talk about a bad half hour of radio. You sure brought it there. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I get that a lot, actually.
You say, yeah, no, I probably get that a lot. Or, I mean, what are you wearing those stupid glasses for? I mean, I get that a lot. What are you doing wearing those bonnet glasses?
I like
your age.
No, that's cool. You're hipping it up, Jim.
Your age. People don't even know how old I am. Okay, go ahead.
I'm looking at the schedule next year, and I got in this debate yesterday with Trey Schaap because he is he's so condescending. I mean, he has actually gone beyond where Bill Vickery and I have gone into as far as condescension. So we're in a meeting yesterday, and we got into the space, and we were talking about Arkansas's first tailgate. We were kind of planning out next year and stuff, and we're like, well, we'll have a tailgate in September. He's like, maybe not. I'm like, we're going to have a tailgate. Maybe not. I'm like, dude. We're going to have a tailgate. Maybe not. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we start looking at the schedule. I'm like, well, maybe not, actually. When do you think Arkansas will schedule the Little Rock games next year? We'll all assume that the Ole Miss game will be a Little Rock game. But what do you think will be the other game? Will it be UAB in October? Do you think it'll be a game in September against Nicholls? Or I doubt it'll be Nicholls because that's the first available home date. Or Northern Illinois maybe on September 20th.
Why isn't it going to be Nicholls State?
What's that?
You don't think they'll bring another Division One AA team? I mean, or a FCS team here?
I don't, because it's the first available home date is the only thing I'm thinking.
First available period.
It's happened before. Yeah. It's happened a couple times. That would be the
well,
it's
opener?
Second game because they open at Auburn next year. Remember?
Like I was saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I was saying about the 2014 schedule. I don't know. I guess the guy to have on here to talk about that is Kevin Kras.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's interesting the way Arkansas' schedule breaks down next year where the open dates fall. You've got five games open, four games open, four and three games. So it's interesting how it breaks, but and then you kind of piece it together so you think, okay, maybe if we can pull maybe a couple, three wins out of the first part of the schedule. You got to win a couple in the middle and then try to pull one of the last three out between LSU at home, Ole Miss at home, and at Missouri.
Northern Illinois is 8-0 so far this season.
Yeah,
too,
but again, that's, you know, you want to talk about schedule strength, we can talk about schedule strength, but that's going to be a winnable game.
Did they go to a BCS game last year?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they went to a BCS game. They've beaten two Big Ten teams this year.
Who?
Northern Illinois has.
No, I know. I'm just saying, who'd they beat? Anybody good?
Purdue and Iowa.
Yeah, those teams stink.
I don't know, but that's combined 15-1 between NIU and Texas Tech. I would hate to think they're going to just send the FCS game here to Little Rock every year. I would also propose, or I proposed earlier this year when we were looking at the 2015 problems with the schedule, that perhaps they might have some negotiating power to work it out where either they extend the contract for a game a year after 2016 or they get a better game next year. I don't necessarily think Ole Miss is a sure thing for Little Rock if they can play them in Fayetteville. But
what would be the – I mean, if you have to play a conference game, that's the worst conference opponent.
Yeah, if you do. I mean, if they go by the way the contract is now – that's what they would do, but I'm just saying Arkansas and War Memorial are all, I mean, Jeff Long and the stadium are in a position where they might could, you know, work some things out that work for everybody in 2015 and then on past. But okay, assuming they don't do any of that and they just mm-hmm. stick with what they got, I could still see it being probably Northern Illinois here in Little Rock and Ole Miss, I would say.
Okay.
The games, are you going ahead and planning tailgates now?
No, we're just kind of talking about it in general.
Scoping it. Well,
we're
going to
have tailgates.
We have a good one for Mississippi State.
Yeah, we're working on that's already planned out, my man. Don't worry. You can guarantee yourself a good time there, and you can wear whatever glasses you want to that party. You'll have a good time.
And I guess that game would likely kick off at 11:20 or something.
Yeah, and that game is going to be for Arkansas to go to a bowl, so it's going to be huge. I think we can all agree to that.
You mean after Arkansas wins these next three and two in a row, and
yeah,
and is playing for a bowl game. That's going to be huge. So sell that thing out.
Yep. Optimist Prime.
Here's your optimistic look. If after LSU loses at Alabama, they're going in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have nothing out there. They will
not care.
They will quit going to workouts. Mettenberger will mail it in. Arkansas goes down to LSU and gets that win, too.
Shaka. I'd like that. LSU's a winnable game. I don't care if they beat Alabama. I believe that. I believe all four of the last four games are winnable. I think if Arkansas wins one of them, that'll be okay. If they win two, that'd be great.
Now,
I expect they can win three. But
I want to say they're winnable, but did Arkansas do something that you know during the off week? Did they bring in, like, some new players we didn't know about for defense?
No. But Matt Harris gave him a pep talk. No, I'm kidding. No, but I do think you did see comments from the coaches, Jim, that lead you to believe that guys that may have been even are going to get a chance to get in there and play this week. You know, whether it's an underclassman, you know, getting to play ahead of an upperclassman because they were pretty close. You know, I think they're going to shake some things up, and I think it'll be nothing but good. So, and the other thing is they've had another week to prepare. And the one thing we will say is those opening drives have been pretty good. What they've scripted has been pretty good. Now they've got an extra week to script stuff. They need to script the whole game.
They need to make a script longer then.
Yeah.
Aren't you the one that just a few weeks ago I heard you say they just need to script an entire game?
Yes.
It's too bad it doesn't play out that way. But, yeah, they should script everything and anticipate changes. Anticipate the other team's adjustments to their plan.
Whatever they do in the first quarter – at the beginning of the game, they should do that in the fourth quarter for sure. I don't care if they do it in the second, third. Here's the thing. I don't even care if Arkansas gets blown out this weekend. I just want them to score a point. If they kick an extra point in the fourth quarter, that'll be fine.
Forget winning any of these next few games. Are they even going to score in the fourth quarter in an SEC game?
That'd be nice. It'll be hard to win without it. Okay. Jim, what do you make of this Auburn video thing? Is this just is this stirring the pot? Is this legitimate? It's I cannot remember ever hearing a coach complain about plays being edited out.
Well, he's not even supposed to do it anyway. According
right.
to the bylaws of the league, that shouldn't even have been aired. I'm really perplexed by this guy now. I've been behind Bielema. I think his record speaks for itself from Wisconsin. I think he's done it. He should be able to rebuild this program. But I'm really beginning to be a little concerned with things like this, with things like getting into the deal with the offense, the no huddle offense stuff back in the summer with Malzahn. And there's just some places that, especially in the deep south, that a coach just doesn't need to go there. And
but there's
strike two, I guess.
But there's bad blood there, right? I mean, these two are
apparently
gone. I mean,
there is, and I don't know why. I mean, why is there bad blood? The funny thing about this whole statement, if you view the whole deal about the film deal in general, he posts the comment about the film problem out there, like what? You know, everybody's kind of looking at each other, like what during the press conference yesterday, and then he explains it. And it makes it like a big deal or like they're conniving to leave it out. But then it's like, Gus does the right thing. You know, I just know it's a oversight. You know, well, then why say anything?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I wonder if that says something. Yeah, I'm sure it's a glitch. I know Gus stands for everything that's right and has great faith in doing things right.
Yeah.
So I'm just sure it's a glitch and they'll get to the bottom of it. But the thing is, I'm wondering if that isn't a little bit tongue-in-cheek and he's just saying that because he's irritated.
Yeah. Why I say any of that unless there's something deeper than this and I'd like him to be a little more open about what's bugging him, you know, with Malzahn and that crowd. I mean, I don't know. Is he that astute that he knows that there is this little segment of people that would have loved to have had Malzahn as coach, even though Malzahn, I still think it's debatable if he would have taken this job, offered the two jobs side by side, I wonder if he would have picked Arkansas over Auburn. Auburn probably has a lot better tools and resources to win with recruiting and with the money put in the program. I don't know. I'm perplexed by why Bielema is even going here and airing this stuff out.
Yeah,
but then you know what he does on Twitter, and he airs the stuff out.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you do see a program, and you do know there's Gus Malzahn has his fans here, and he's over there winning 7 out of 8 games. So yeah, there's probably a little bit of that. And then they had the commentary back and forth at Media Days. You had them releasing the Tate injury information on Twitter. I mean, there's just been one thing after another. They're all little things, and it seems a little bit silly to even get caught up in it. But I am curious to see what that – you know how the coaches always kind of stand around and visit a little bit before the games? I'm curious to see what that'll be like, if at all, if that'll even happen this weekend. I'm sure, you know, Bielema could just say, you know, I was going through my closet looking for a different windbreaker. I mean, he could make an excuse for not being out there. But I am curious to see how that goes and then what the postgame handshake will be like. But, again, these are silly things that don't really matter and don't impact the outcome on the field. But
fun side stories.
They are fun side stories.
Yes.
Jim, we did see announced to Arkansas Ole Miss, 11-21 in 2 weeks. So for those of you who are interested in that game, it is an early start. Basketball is also underway. So let's talk about something that we have a little bit more optimism about.
Hey.
At least we think we do. What did you any takeaways from the red-white game the other night? I was excited to see that Alandis Harris played as well as we thought he could. Admittedly, it's against Arkansas defenders. And also that Rashad Matt had 8 assists in addition to 20-plus points.
Yeah, I think all those two items that you mentioned, as well as Antwon Bell's play, was a significant improvement over probably what we just saw even in the red-white games and, you know, practice level last year. And I thought he showed moments late in the season last year. He had 17 against somebody, I think Florida maybe or somebody. I can't remember the team, but I just know that the very next game we didn't see him hardly at all. No, I know South Carolina. He had a big game against them, and then, you know, we didn't see him much next week, but I think he's going to be more of a factor. He's obviously pushing Markel Wade. I wouldn't take a whole lot out of the scoring because, like someone pointed out, I think a couple years ago, Marvell Wade scored 30, you know, in a red-white game, and I don't think he scored 30 for the season the rest of the way. But some guys do shine. I just remember back several years ago when Scotty Thurman was a freshman. We didn't know much about Thurman. He came in a little bit unsung, if you recall. LSU didn't recruit him. You know, he had some good numbers out of high school, but it wasn't like Scotty Thurman was some kind of McDonald's All-America. But, I mean, in the red-white game, you could just tell, I mean, that this guy was something. And obviously he was something. I knew Alondis Harris would be something. They could have used him last year. There's no question about it. He didn't get a waiver. That's another subject for us to talk about down the road, you know, if that ever comes up with the Razorbacks again. But this NCAA waiver process is odd.
Yeah, and this just in. There's lots
of stuff. Popping up again. But he didn't get it last year. They could have used him. But, I mean, you know, things work out for a reason, and he'll be more valuable, really, with this team this year because there's a lot more togetherness. I like Fred Gulley. Some of his points came in mop-up time, if you want to call that.
Talking about the red-white game? Or
mop-up red-white. I mean, really, but he scored 20-something points Saturday, too. So I think Gulley's improved his game. You know, there's still going to be – I mean, they don't have a McDonald's All-America guard. But they do have a guy point forward is what I think Madden kind of more is. And he showed more take it to the hoop against these guys. And I like the fact that the three guys you want to rebound all rebounded. Portis, Kingsley had 8. He didn't score much. And then Harris had several rebounds as well, maybe 9 or something. So, I mean, you know, I think that if that translates to the court, there's like 7 guys there that you can look down the list and say those 7 guys look pretty doggone decent. Well, that's something to really build around because I think in the past couple of years you could say maybe 2 guys look decent. But, you know, I like what we may have. I like that Coach Anderson, you know, also didn't go crazy about it. Said, look, let's take it for what it is. It's a red-white game. I mean, you know, we didn't really play defense. It's just like kind of an up and down game, but you know, there's some bright spots, and you know, fans can see them play I think the tickets for an exhibition game are a lot cheaper than a regular season game. I think they play Missouri Southern on Friday night at 7 o'clock at Bud Walton Arena. Obviously, there's a little time gap there, and a lot of people coming up Saturday now for the football game. If you got up Friday night, it'd be a good opportunity to see these guys.
No question. Jim, we got to take a timeout. Who you like tomorrow?
Who do I like tomorrow? They wear red, and they
like
have
socks.
Little birds on the bat.
Oh, them. Okay.
He likes them, but does he like them to win?
Is that
that's
what
the question.
About?
Yeah, he's going Waka
is
Waka.
Is that the game you're referring to, or you mean the
yeah.
You
going Waka
Lake
Waka?
Forest
I'm not talking about the NBA day two. I'm talking about Waka Waka.
Day two of the NBA? Watching it.
I like Waka. He's been incredible, but, I mean, they got to win. So my heart's with the Cardinals. That's who I like.
I understand.
But I feel like the Red Sox have kind of proven they're just a slightly hair better. I mean, it's been
hair.
You know, I mean, there's been one or two swings.
Since
I mean, there's one swing difference in the you know the game too. The other night, and then you know a couple of pitches last night.
Yeah,
that's it's boiled down to this series is so close. It's being decided by turnovers, like they said last night, and you know by one or two swings.
Tim, when I see you next Monday, I'm going to give you a hug.
Okay.
All right, hang in
thanks,
there.
Thanks, Cub fan. I'll give you a hug for the, what, the 58 straight years. 68
we don't even need a hug.
Years.
We don't even care about winning.
58 straight years without a hug, okay, or without a title.
Yeah, but the thing is there's no emotional connection to it because you have an expectation that is extremely low. So
that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no getting bent out of shape about it.
It's like Hog fans might want to do now. If you keep your expectations low, you won't be disappointed.
Well, but there should be expectations there. My thing is, you know, not getting upset because the Cubs don't make the playoffs or run at the World Series is like waking up in the morning and being upset that I'm not 6'4".
Never going to happen.
No, probably not. So I'm okay with it. I've come to terms with it. But that's okay. I'm going to pass that misery on to my kids, so it's all good. Jim, we appreciate
the
time.
Later.
Sporting